Well, I can say it was for me. Yes, all for me. Oh, love of God, so great, so free. And I've been saved for quite a number of years, too. A beautiful moment in my life when I trusted Christ personally as my Savior. Wonderful to be saved for eternity. Wonderful. Recently, in your city, I was talking to a retired Anglican priest who had ministered for close to 60 years to audiences. I said, what did you tell them about how to get to heaven? Oh, he said, I don't know exactly what I told them about that. And I thought, 60 years of preaching, and you don't know what you told people about how a person can be absolutely sure you can get to heaven? I told him that verse in 1 John chapter 5. These things have I written unto you that you may know that you have eternal life. So you probably preached from that chapter. Well, he said, I just don't remember that verse specifically. My friend, these are absolute certainties. Don't settle for anything less than knowing for sure that Christ died for your sins and that He is your Savior. Wonderful to be ready for eternity. Now let's turn in our Bibles again to John chapter 10. And while you're looking up John chapter 10, I don't know whether you know that the Bible is the best selling book of all times, and it is a best-selling book in 2010 and 2011. You say that's pulpit propaganda. Not at all. Daniel Radosh, he's one of the world's top 25 bloggers. He's not a Christian. He's actually an agnostic, a Jew. And he writes in secular magazines, Mademoiselle, Time, and some magazines I won't mention from the pulpit, but he's a very well-known writer. And I read a few years ago that he said that the Bible is always the best-selling book of all times. So someone challenged me on it, so I wrote him again last year. I said, Daniel, I read your article in The New Yorker a few years ago. Can you tell me how you arrived at that figure that the Bible is the best-selling book of all times? And so he wrote me right back later that day. He said, without question it is. He said, I've done my homework. He said, it so outstrips its nearest competitors that it is annually removed from all the best-selling lists because it would win every year. And it outstrips them by such a stretch. It's incredible. But it's God's word. And here he is, an agnostic Jew, and he says the Bible is the best-selling book, not only each year, but of all times. So it's wonderful to be able to turn to the Word of God when everything is up in the air and people are questioning everything. Wonderful to be able to open the Bible and look at John chapter 10 and read verse 9, the words of the Lord Jesus. Jesus said, I am the door. By me. Doesn't say by the gospel hall. I hope no one has a mistaken impression that we think our way is the way to heaven. You could come to the gospel hall all your life and miss heaven. The gospel hall is not the way to heaven. Nor is a Baptist or a Pentecostal, Catholic, Anglican church the way to heaven. Jesus said, I am the door. By me, if anyone enters in, what? He or she shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Oh, there's nothing barren or dry. You might think you're in the northern part of the long North American Sahara desert by being here in Kamloops. And it might go brown after a couple of more weeks. But there is absolutely nothing barren or dry or stale about being inside that door, coming to know Christ as your Savior. Wonderful to be able to say, I entered the door. Not a church door, not a mosque door, not a synagogue door, not a temple door. But the door tonight is a person. The Lord Jesus Christ. I know that's simple. People say, that offends my intellect. There's going to be a bunch of people in town, where I was telling you this last week, on Saturday. A gathering of people, and they're going to imagine a world with no religion. And they would find this offensive to their intellect. They would think, oh, such simple things. Are you really that simple-minded that you would rest on that? That you would find comfort? Is that the best crutch you can find in life? And yes, there's going to be a big convention right in Kamloops of these humanists, agnostics, atheists, and that's the theme of their conference. Imagine a world with no religion. I can't imagine a world with no Christ. The world would definitely be better off with no religion. There's been a lot gone on under the name of Christianity that's absolutely disgusting. Mere religion. I would love to imagine a world with no religion. But I cannot imagine a world with no Christ. How dark this world would be. How dark would be our future. Dear old Anthony Flew, Sir Anthony Flew. Maybe the name doesn't ring a bell to many of you. But you recognize the name Richard Dawkins? Well, Richard Dawkins is the protege of Sir Anthony Flew. And Sir Anthony Flew traveled around the world all his life promoting evolution, promoting no God. He's a prolific writer, wrote books. But I watched him on YouTube last year. And he's well into his 80s. And Richard Dawkins is upset with him now. But Sir Anthony Flew is saying, you know, when you've studied the expanse of the universe as long as I have studied it, and you've delved into molecular science as long as I have delved into it, and genetics, and such an elaborate design, Sir Anthony Flew, the world-renowned atheist, said, it is without question, there must be a designer behind the design. It was time for him to start thinking that way, because he was inching his way towards eternity. When you're healthy and well, robust, prime of youth, you can pound the pulpits, you can go around the world denouncing this and denouncing that, but when you're on the very tiptoe of eternity, time for Anthony Flew to change his mind. And so the people who are coming to Kamloops, they might think, this is very simple. Jesus said, I am the door. By me, if anyone enters in, he shall be saved. I am glad I am one of the simple folk who came to the Lord Jesus Christ, who entered the door of salvation. And tonight, I am saved. I don't say that proudly. I don't say that arrogantly or presumptuously. It has absolutely nothing to do with my lifestyle. It has absolutely nothing to do with the church that I attend or the work that I engage in. It has everything to do with what the Lord Jesus Christ did for me on the cross 2,000 years ago when Jesus died for my sins. I am going to heaven tonight, not because of what I've done, but what Christ did for me. I understood that Jesus Christ is the door. And if I want to be in heaven, I will have to come to Him. I don't know how people explain the mess that the world is in. There's a reality to face. Some awful disaster has occurred. That's why people have the thoughts that they have. That's why homes are broken and lives are broken. It's not just in Canada. Wherever you find human beings on the planet, we all have been stricken by the same disease. If you have a better answer for it, tell us at the door. But until I find a better answer, I'm willing to accept God's word for it. A disaster occurred in the Garden of Eden. And man rebelled against God and sin entered. Romans chapter 5 verse 12 says, by one man's disobedience, by one man's sin, entered into the world, and death by sin. And all the devastation that has occurred in the world, a disaster has struck, a reality for all of us to face. You know, I'm just going to use a parallel, just a physical, natural story to compare it to our spiritual situation. It's not quite a year since the eyes of millions were glued to their screens and they followed every new twist in the story of those 33 miners trapped in the Chilean mine. 2,300 feet, 700 meters down in the earth. In darkness, a disaster occurred. Surrounded above and below by rock. The miners were trapped in that San Jose mine for 69 days. 17 days went by, the first 17. Zero signals from above or from below upwards. 17 days. No communications, cut off. But up above, there was a Chilean rescue plan being put into place. Whether the miners knew about it or not, they were cut off for 17 days. But on day 17, a message got down to the miners. Hang in there. We're going to rescue you. And you know, earlier than anticipated, on day 69, the final stages of the rescue operation were implemented from above. A specially designed shoulder-width capsule. A cage cylinder came down, down, down through that specially designed shaft. Down, down, 2,300 meters. Feet right down to where the trapped, helpless miners were. It's a shoulder width wire capsule with a door. I took a picture along. You can't see it at the back, but you get the idea. Just like a cylinder. Came down there, right to where the miners were. When I read that story, I thought of the awful disaster that occurred in the human race. Cut off from heaven, cut off from God by our sin, disconnected, broken from God in darkness. People groping around on the planet, trying to become more educated, trying to elevate themselves to for the greater good and to look at things from a higher plateau in life. But still in their heart of hearts, a darkness, a certain darkness. And God looked down with compassion. And what was the response from above? the Lord Jesus Christ came down to earth. Oh, what a distance he came down to rescue trapped sinners. Sinners. He successfully dealt with the problem of our sin when he died on the cross of Calvary. God's incredible rescue mission to save trapped sinners. The quality of his work from above, perfect. The simplicity of the plan. Well, you know, in this case, the miners did absolutely nothing themselves to rescue themselves. They couldn't. They were helplessly lost. Romans chapter 5, verse 6 says, when we were yet without strength, no ability to save ourselves, what happened? Christ intervened, and Christ died for the ungodly when we were helplessly lost. When these miners were helplessly lost in the bowels of the earth, the response from above, it was all from above. If there had been nothing designed from above, they would have been lost forever. But those engineers, they designed that capsule. And it went down those 2,300 feet. Oh, think of it spiritually, the simplicity of the plan. It was extremely costly on God's part. All done from above. God sent his beloved Son into the world. God's Son, Jesus Christ, he dealt with our problem. He bore our sins in his own body upon the cross. He did the hard work. And then Jesus says, I am the door. I am the door. If anyone enters in, he shall be saved. Was there any work required on my part to get inside that door and to be rescued, to be saved? No, I just in my bedroom. Oh, I didn't have someone coaching me say, okay, now repeat after me. Come on, you need to get in. You need it. No, I had no one coercing me. I was just a teenager thinking about eternity, where I was going to be in eternity. That night in my bedroom, I understood that by Christ's death on the cross, the door was opened. Very costly undertaking on God's part, but it was completely free for trapped sinners like me. Just like the Chilean rescue, it was designed, it was implemented from above. Now just follow this analogy just a little bit further. So this comes down. And there are those 33 miners and they're trapped. And they've been waiting 69 long days in darkness. And finally the cylinder arrives and the door swings open. Do you think one miner said, I'm not going to trust that. I'm going to check the hinges on the door. I'm going to look underneath and see whether what the cable is made of. I don't think I can trust the work that's from above. Do you think the miners went through that? Not for a moment. They were lost, helpless. Even if they were claustrophobic in confined quarters. Once that door was opened, they might have gone in trembling. They might have been claustrophobic. But the most important thing was for them to get inside, go through the door. If you're full of fear, still go through the door. It's not how much faith you have in Christ. It's faith, any amount of faith, that puts you in contact with Christ. You don't have to have this much faith to be inside the door. Those Chilean miners, one by one, they had to make a personal choice. Will I or will I not? Well, you say it's ludicrous, preposterous, to think that there would be another option. There was another option, though. They didn't have to enter. They could have remained in the darkness. You say it's ludicrous. Is it any more ludicrous than for people to hear about the Lord Jesus Christ and to know that the door is open wide and they choose to stay outside? To me, that is the ultimate display of being ludicrous. The choice, heaven, the other option is hell. And one by one, they went in that door, through the door, and that little door shut. And they were safe inside. Their knees might have been knocking. They might have been biting their fingernails, scared. But here's the most important point. They entered the door. They entered the door, and they relied on work that was done from above. They didn't tamper with it. They just 100% relied on the sufficiency and the accuracy and the reliability of the work that was done from above. And tonight, the grand message of the gospel is, 2,000 years ago, Christ did a work. He is the one who came down from above. I am not trusting him 95% and then myself for 5%. I am trusting the Lord Jesus Christ 100%. And I am inside. Oh, imagine when those miners went in there, one by one, and they came up to the surface. And thought, I'm saved! I'm saved! The night I entered the door of salvation, I'll tell you, it was a beautiful night. And when I look back over all those years, I can just bow my head and thank God again. I'm saved. I'm inside. You're not safe on the outside. Bad things happen on the outside. The Lord Jesus is the only one who can lift you to safety. The Lord Jesus is the only one that can take you to heaven. People say, well, I'm depending on my faith. I'm glad I'm not depending on my faith to get me to heaven. Faith in what? Faith in having faith? No, I'm not depending on my faith. I am depending on Jesus Christ plus nothing else. My hope for eternity rests fairly and squarely on the sufficiency of what Jesus Christ did on the cross when he died for my sins 2,000 years ago. He cried, "It is finished!" And God raised him from the dead, the stamp of divine approval. Yes, I am pleased with the death of my son for the sins of a guilty world. Raised from the dead, and my Christ is alive. You've been hearing the words, Maranatha. Even so, come. Come, Lord Jesus. I am looking forward to being with the Lord Jesus Christ for eternity. Eternity. Time soon will end. And what is most important tonight, you might have other plans for this week. And probably very important business to attend to. But if you are not inside that door of John 10 and verse 9, if you are not inside that door, that is the most crucial matter in your life. More important than school, more important than friends, more important than careers or anything else. Don't you rest until you can let your shoulders sag down and say, thank God. I'm safe inside. I'm in Christ. He is my Savior. You could enter that door tonight. It's wide open. It's just a matter of coming to the Lord Jesus Christ.